Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame conference call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. I'd like to introduce today's host of today's conference, Mr. Dave Fisher. Mr. Fisher, please go ahead.
Therese, thanks very much, and good day, ladies and gentlemen, on a glorious day for hockey in the United States. I think, as all of you know, earlier today we unveiled the United States Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2009, just a spectacular class once again. And to begin our proceedings today, it is my great pleasure to turn the call over to one of the most respected leaders in amateur sports today and the executive director of USA Hockey, Mr. Dave Ogren. Dave, please go ahead.
Fish, thank you very much, and thanks to everybody from the media who is on the call. Congratulations to our inductees. This is a terrific class. They are joining an institution which is very, very special, and this is a very unique honor that puts them in very select company to be inducted later this year into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. But it's a great class of people who have had such a huge impact on our game, especially over the last 25 years. You're going to hear from all of them here today, and I don't want to take up their time, but it's been a real privilege for USA Hockey to be involved with the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. I think you all know that the Hall of Fame Museum continues to exist in Eveleth, Minnesota, where it was opened in 1973. It's a great place, a great shrine of the history of our game in the United States. And we're very proud back in 2007 to have gotten involved in managing the selection and induction process for the Hall of Fame. This will be the third induction ceremony this fall that we will stage. And in the very near future, you'll be hearing about an announcement on the location and the site. I really think that this day is about the inductees, and Dave, I'm going to keep my remarks short so that everybody can hear from them.
Thanks very much, Dave. We will indeed hear from each of the class of 2009 as we move through, and once we're finished with that, we'll turn it back over to Charisse for your questions. The pinnacle of honor in hockey in our country, and we will begin first with the 1998 U.S. Women's Olympic ice hockey team. Certainly, you know, they had a powerful impact on the growth of girls and women's hockey in our country due to the success that they enjoyed in Nagano, the first time ever that women's ice hockey was included in the Olympic Winter Games program under head coach Ben Smith. The team went 6-0, and I think, as you all know, going into the games, Canada had the upper hand and was clearly the favorite heading into the games, but the United States and Captain Cammy Granato, under her leadership, beat Canada twice, including by a 3-1 count in the gold medal game. We are pleased, very pleased, to have Captain Cammy Granato with us here on the call. And as you know, she was inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame a year ago. Cammy, please go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. First of all, I want to congratulate the other inductees. Had a pleasure to watch the players play for many years and admire the way they played, and all their hard work is being rewarded, so congrats. And obviously to Frank Zamboni, who had such a major impact on the game and still does, congratulations as well. For our team, I think really this is obviously a huge honor. What was so special about that team was I played for 16 years on the U.S. team, and that was the one team that I look back on and just look at the way we were unified. There was just something incredibly, incredibly special about that team and about the way we all came together at the right time. Because, as Dave mentioned, we were not favored going into the Olympics and had lost, I think, six or seven world championships to Canada, and really were just kind of searching for a way to, how are we going to beat this team? And we decided that we were going to come together as one and really just let go of our individuality, and it's hard to do that on a team of, everyone's been the superstar on their team before they come to the U.S. Program, and then it's hard to take a back seat sometimes. But everybody did that and played their role, and it was an amazing experience from start to finish. It was like a flawless 2 weeks for us. It just got better and better, and obviously ended the right way with a gold medal, and it's something that we'll never forget, and it's a big honor for us to be recognized like this today.
Thanks very much, Cammy. And as we go through, certainly cannot give complete bios on each of the members of the class of 2009, try and pull up a couple of highlights of each of our inductees. But as we continue, Tony Amonte, of course, scored an awful lot of big goals over his career. 15 years he played the National Hockey League, scored 416 goals in his efforts with five teams. I'll, of course, start on the international stage for the United States on several occasions, including twice in the Olympics in 1998 and 2002. And, of course, in 2002, helping Team USA won the silver medal in Salt Lake City. Maybe the most memorable and biggest goal he scored, however, came with just over 2.5 minutes remaining in regulation up in Montreal, the inaugural World Cup of Hockey. United States lost the opening game of the best-of-three championship series, I think, as you remember, and rallied to win the last two and take the title in one of the most significant events in U.S. hockey history, and that game-winning goal scored by our next inductee, the class of 2009, Tony Amonte. Tony, please go ahead.
Well, thanks a lot. I'd like to congratulate all the other inductees. And just on a short note, it was definitely the highlight of my career, that one goal at the World Cup, and fortunately getting inducted at the same time as my line mate and left winger, John LeClair. It definitely makes this a special occasion, but for the most part, this is a thrill that, you know, you never expect growing up. And you just go out there and play for the love of the game, and that's all we tried to do growing up, was play as hard as we could. And fortunately, as like 16 and 17-year-olds, we get into the USA hockey program, playing Select 15 and Select 17, getting an opportunity to go to World Junior Championships, and all that experience and work the USA hockey put in definitely helped to boost myself as a player. And you know, I'm not don't really know what else to say here, but you know, this is truly an honor and something that myself and my family will cherish for a long time. Thanks
very much, Tony. And next, Tom Barrasso, of course, won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships with the Pittsburgh Penguins to highlight his 19-year NHL career. Certainly one of the very, very best American-born netminders ever to play the game today. I think you know that among U.S.-born netminders, he's first in National Hockey League history in playoff victories with 61, second in regular season victories, and holds the NHL record among all goaltenders for career points and assists, a major part of the United States on the international stage, playing for the U.S. Olympic team in 2002 as well, that captured the silver medal in Salt Lake City. And a great pleasure to welcome to the United States Hockey Hall of Fame, Tom Barrasso. Tom, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank the selection committee for allowing me to be part of such a great group of people who devoted their life to the game of hockey. It's a very humbling experience to be included with some of the people that are in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. I actually went to the website yesterday and just looked at all the past inductees, and it's a great list of people who really devoted their lives to the game that that we have all played and all love. I'd like to congratulate my fellow inductees on their individual and team accomplishments. Honored to enter the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame with this class. I guess I'd like to thank a couple people just who really have gotten me where I am in my life, and from my teammates and coaches who I share this award with, to my wife Megan and my children Ashley, Kelsey, and Mallory, and most importantly, my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, who all knew nothing about the game of hockey except we played it in the street because the Boston Bruins were the hot thing back in the early 70s when I was a little kid. And they gave their boy an opportunity to play a game they knew nothing about, and it's been the greatest life I could have ever imagined, and I'm tremendously grateful for the opportunity that they gave me to get out on the ice and play this game and discover a true passion for being a goaltender. I guess, again, my congratulations to the fellow inductees. I tremendously look forward to seeing them all at the formal induction ceremony, and it'll be an honor to be there with them. Thank you.
Tom, thanks very much. And as we move along, also a member of the 2002 U.S. Olympic team, he's a two-time Olympian, also played in 1998, is John LeClaire. Of course, John played 16 years in the National Hockey League, helped the Montreal Canadiens capture the Stanley Cup in 1993. 406 career goals, and of course, you know, he's the first American-born player ever to record three consecutive 50-goal seasons in the NHL. A great pleasure to welcome to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2009, John LeClaire. John, please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to congratulate everybody also. Obviously, Cammy's team, the 98 women's team, has been an inspiration to, I think, the whole women's hockey throughout the whole country. I think that really inspired a lot of young girls to go, and they should be very proud of that. That was an awesome thing they did over in Nagano. And my two teammates I had a pleasure playing with in Salt Lake City, Tommy and Tony, great guys individually off the ice and tremendous players, well deserved on your honor here getting into the Hall. And obviously Frank, you know, he's a pioneer of hockey, Zambonis all over the world, and congratulations to you too. I just really like to thank USA Hockey. You know, I grew up in the age of the 80 Olympic team when I was a little kid, and that was so inspiring to see that USA jersey. And given the opportunity to be able to wear that and play in some meaningful games for USA Hockey was a thrill of a lifetime. You felt like a little kid every time you threw that jersey on, and it was such a thrill for me. So I'm very honored, and this is a tremendous honor for me to be inducted into the Hall. Thank you.
Thanks very much, John. And the last member of the class of 2009 never laced up the skates himself, but certainly Frank Zamboni's legacy, as you know, lives at nearly every hockey rink in the country. I guess, really, to put it in perspective, Zamboni is to ice resurfacers what Kleenex maybe is to tissue, and Xerox is to copies. Frank received the patent for the Zamboni in 1940, the world's first self-propelled ice surfacing resurfacing machine. He brought the machines to the 1960 Olympic Winter Games in Squaw Valley. And what was it in 2007, I think, Richard, that the 8500th Zamboni was produced as the official ice resurfacer of the NHL. Frank passed away at the age of 87 back in 1988, but we are very pleased to have his son with us on the line from California today, Richard Zamboni. Richard, please go ahead.
Well, thanks, Dave, and it's a wonderful tribute to my dad to be involved in this. We're kind of on the one common denominator is that all of us were born in the United States, which is a great tribute to the country that we belong to and are part of. But my dad would be tremendously pleased to be selected for this induction. I had the opportunity many years ago to visit the hall in Eveleth, and it was just great to see it and walk through it and to have my father in there now. It would be just a great thrill to him. I know that he thrived on challenges. He started with an ice rink in 1940 and 19 in a little town called Hines, California, on the border of Los Angeles, and just thought there had to be a better way of doing things. And after many years of experimentation and testing, he finally got something that did the job for him. Others wanted to see it. He certainly wanted to see the ice as good as he could in as short a period of time, and after many years he got the thing going to his to my satisfaction. He was never satisfied. He always wanted to get the thing better, and the first 15 were all different, but it's just been a pleasure to see the industry change, evolve, improve, and it's nice to have the recognition coming to his efforts, and on behalf of his family, we're tremendously pleased to be seeing this tribute to him, and we want to thank the selection committee for doing so. Thanks so much.
Richard, thanks very much. And actually, I think I misspoke there. 1949 was when Zamboni received the patent, and not 1940. Well, that is the terrific class of 2009, and again, We will let you know the date and location of the official induction ceremonies here early next month. I'd like to bring Charisse back now, our lead operator today, and she will take us through the question and answer portion of today's teleconference. Charisse?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star and then the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to move yourself from the queue, press the pound key. Again, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star, then the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. Our first question comes from Craig Constance from Sports News. Your line is open.
First of all, congratulations to everybody for the honor. And I wanted to direct this question to Tony. I mean, you talked about the goal in the World Cup of 96. I was just wondering if you could just kind of take us through that moment. And then after that, you score 40 goals. I mean, did it kind of propel you, further in your career in the NHL?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Scored 40 goals 3 years consecutive after that. But, you know, getting back to that goal, played that first game of the series in Philly, and the place was crazy, and you got the U.S. fans all cheering us on, and we dropped that game in overtime. So now the next game two is up in Montreal, and it didn't look good. You know, they had the champagne on ice. They were ready to rock and roll in that second game, but, you know, we spoiled the second game, and I think shocked them a little bit. But that third game was the most memorable game of my career. Unfortunately, I never got to win a Stanley Cup, but that was the pinnacle of my career. And being able to be part of that game, it was just unbelievable. The atmosphere and the animosity up there, and we were walking to the rink. I can remember before Game 3, and people driving the car real slow next to you, taunting you the whole way down the street to the Bell Center, and it was just an amazing, amazing time, and it definitely took my career to a different level that it had never seen.
Thanks, Tony. And if I could to Cammy, you make the Hall last year. I mean, can you just kind of describe the feelings of now you get to share it with your teammates and how it's different last year to this year?
Can you just how it's different last year and what way? Oh, you mean as far as the induction and how the sharing?
Yeah, now that you get to share this moment and this honor with these teammates. Who
yeah,
you have really
yeah. I think
with.
That's it's definitely more special that way when you can share the. You know, can you share something with your teammates? Because it's a team sport, and it's just really nice that our team was recognized this way. Because we felt it was incredibly special, and we knew just how unique that whole experience was, and just how how we weren't favored going in, and then just growing up watching the 1980 team win, and all of us own those, the Carl Malden home video of the 1980 team, winning the gold medal. And I know as a kid I watched over and over, and then just to get to experience it and to see the way our team rose to the challenge. You know, in the Olympics there's so much pressure, and we felt that in 2002 when we were favored. I mean, there's just so much pressure on you, and we rose, and we beat the best team in the world at the time, and it's just the memories, they're etched, and they get to stay with you forever, and I think that's the greatest part. And we're connected pretty well, with email nowadays. You can all stay connected, so, people are, sending out emails here, pictures of kids, and so we've been able to stay together over the years and just see how everyone's sort of grown, and, to share this experience and to have everybody get together again is going to be a great celebration.
Great. Thanks a lot. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Cameron Eichmeier from USAHockey.com. Your line is open.
Hi. This question is for the guys from the 2002 team. All three of you now joined Hull, Leach, and Richter in the Hall of Fame as part of that 2002 squad. I guess two questions. One, what makes that team so special that all these players are starting to get inducted? And similar to the 1980 team, it seems like this is the second wave, and you guys kind of accomplish your NHL careers, international careers, and take this next step in. So what does it mean to see so many teammates honored at this level?
Guys, who wants to start?
We should go alphabetically. Tony can lead.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah, definitely. I don't know. That team just had so many characters on it and so many great personalities, and that's what made it so much fun is being around guys like Chelios and Brett Hull and Brian Leach. You get a little bit different out of every guy. And you knew something special was going to happen. You knew every time you stepped on the ice, you you're playing with the best U.S. born players, and it was always a joy, and something everybody looked forward to and wanted. No matter what before you knew you were part of this team because you knew something special was going to happen.
Well, I'm just, you know, so proud of the fact that, you know, we've been able to grow the game of hockey in the United States and produce these kind of players. You know, you just read off that list of names of the guys that are on that team, and it's not just great, you know, American hockey players. It's some of the greatest players that have played, and I think that's a real testament to what USA Hockey has been able to put together in the last 30 years, really, and grow the talent here at an extremely high level, and, you know, bring in great athletes to play the game of hockey. And for me, and I was fortunate to be on two Stanley Cup teams, but I put just being at the Olympics in 2002 on a similar level. That's how honored I was to be part of that club, and it's something that, as I said, it's right there with my two Stanley Cups for me, and as the high points of my career.
John?
Yeah, it's definitely up there as well. One of the most memorable experiences I had. You know, just having the opportunity to have Herbie as a coach, you know, being in the States, having the Olympics being held here, and then, you know, getting back to like what Tony said, you know, the group of guys, the talent level was extraordinary. And I think that's what kind of helped everybody. Everybody got along off the ice so well. Everybody, you know, there's such a great mix of guys that you didn't want to let anybody down. And I think that really fueled the fire to the performance that we had out there.
All right, Therese.
Our next question comes from Corey Francer from USA Today. Your line is open.
Hi, this question is for Tom. Just what was it like for you being the first goalie to come directly out of high school and then have such a successful rookie season right away?
Well, I'm glad I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I was fortunate enough to have trained with the 1983 Olympic team coming out of college or coming out of high school in August of '83. And that was really, I think, the experience that allowed me to be prepared for an NHL training camp and propelled me towards my success my rookie year. I look back on it now, and in all honesty, I don't have the slightest idea of how it was possible to have that season as someone who's really never played, you know, at that kind of a level previous. But it's one of the things I'm most proud of in my career is being able to come out as an 18 and 19 year old play at that level. But it was also some of the most fun I had in my career, and you know, every experience was new. Every arena I went into was a new experience, and playing with grown men, and you know, being 18 years old and playing with Gilbert Perreault, who was 36, and Jerry Korab, who was 36 and had kids, you know, close to my age. It was an amazing experience, and the memories and the stories are things that I cherish. And as I said, it was the most fun I had playing hockey, because there wasn't really any pressure to play at that given time. I don't think anybody expected me to be as successful as I was, and it was just up to me to really want to be successful and drive myself towards it. And as I said, it was just a lot of fun to be able to have that year. And it's an amazing way to start a career.
Our next question comes from Mike Loftus from the Patriot Ledger. Your line is open.
I got a couple questions for Tony. Tony, how are you doing?
Good, Mike.
I'm going to ask you just a couple things about influences. You drafted in '88, which is about 8 years after that 1980 Olympic team. Was that an inspiration to you at the time, or something that, you know, helped you with your career? And even a guy like Tom, who was, you know, just drafted, you know, first round just a few years after that, you know, just how did those American teams, American players, you know, factor into your development?
Definitely. I mean, I remember sitting at home watching the '80 Olympics, you know, being 10 years old and
sitting down and watching the game with my father and my brother, and it was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen on TV. It was incredible to even see him win it. And then, you know, 8 years later, I think it was like 87, you know, that the 88 Olympic team was traveling around the country, and I think I saw them play Northeastern, BU, and BC. That's where you really started to get into it. You see it live in person. You see all these unbelievable players out there, and that's, I think, you know, Brian Leach and Kevin Stevens. There was a handful of guys from Boston College that were there, and guys like that make you think it's possible. You know, without guys coming before you, you just don't think you can get there. But then you see a guy that, a local kid that went to Boston College and getting an opportunity to play at the Olympics, then you're like, oh, hey, he did it. Maybe it's my turn after. So, you know, just being able to experience those things and see it with your own eyes, it really, you know, start believing in yourself and believing that you can do it.
And you just mentioned him, earlier you had talked about how much this would mean to your family. I know, unfortunately, you lost your dad, you know, fairly recently. You know, this has got to be something that, you know, you as much as you can, you share this with him too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I really haven't spoke about him much. I've been hot on our family losing him in February, but, he would be thrilled. You know, this would definitely be an honor that, he would love to be there to see, and it's going to hurt not having him there, that's for sure.
Great. Thanks. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Cameron Eckermeyer from USAHockey.com. Your line is open.
Sorry, one more question for you, and this goes out for Richard. Technology seems to surpass so many inventions over the passing of time, and your dad's invention, while it's changed, has basically stayed the same. What does that say about your dad's ingenuity back then? And then I'm sure that's pretty special to be able to keep that within the family all these years.
Yeah, I appreciate the comment and the question. But he was always somebody who didn't get past the ninth grade, born in Utah, and just had a knack for envisioning things and what could be done, and he really wanted to make the best ice he could. He had the good fortune to be at the 1960 Olympics, where we had the first mechanical resurfacers at Squaw Valley. We were able to see the big win there, and also I had the chance also to be at Lake Placid for 1980. So being close to the great wins for the hockey. It has just been great. He just wanted to always make that machine better. He was a very humble man and would have been just tremendously pleased to receive this honor and see the recognition to what he liked to do is just make a better product and try to keep improving it and get a better sheet of ice quicker.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Shai Davey from Canadian Press. Your line is open.
Congratulations to everyone. This question is for John and Tony. How do you think that the victory at the 96 World Cup changed the rivalry between the U.S. and Canada?
John, why don't we start with you?
I think it changed a lot. I mean, you know, there was a lot of friendly back and forth, I think, going on between everybody before we took off to go at our camps and start the tournament. But it took a couple of weeks for everybody to kind of calm down after it was done. You know, I think that was one of the most intense three-game series I think I've ever played. And, you know, it was amazing, just the way the whole thing played out. And obviously the results for us, it was terrific. But it definitely changed it. I think we gave a lot of respect to. I think they knew that USA Hockey was good, but I don't think they thought we were that good.
Tony?
Yeah, no, it's just I think the rivalry was always there, you know, and that victory on their home soil, it definitely hurt them. That's for sure. Just like it hurt us in 2002 to lose in Utah. That kept. I didn't even want to walk out of the locker room after the game. You know what I mean? You're on your own soil. You're expected to win. You're having a great tournament. You make it to the finals, you know. And I'm sure that's the way they felt, you know what I mean? So it was a little bit of payback in 2002. I wish I was still playing to go up to Vancouver this year, but unfortunately that's not going to happen, and be watching that whole tournament unfold on TV, that's for sure.
John, where were you when Tony scored? Were you on the ice, or where did you see that goal from?
I was literally on the ice. I got knocked down. that's a goal that I'll never forget. I was by the far post there, and I was on the ground, but I could see it go in. And the way to come back like that and just see that goal go in, it was just it was the best feeling in the world.
Thanks a lot. Congratulations again, everyone.
Again, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star, then the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. One moment, please, for our next question. Our next question comes from Mike Morrell from NHL.com. Your line is open.
Hello, everyone. Congratulations for the induction. This question is going out to Richard. Rich, were there a lot of skeptics of your dad's invention when he first made it public, and what did your dad say to them at the time?
I was awfully young when he would have said anything, but I do know when he finally got the machine going, he had about three or four prototypes along the way leading up to 1949, and he said repeatedly afterwards one of the things that kept him going was the people saying he couldn't do it. And it wasn't a matter, I don't think, of what he would have said afterwards, other than saying, I just want to build a better machine, keep improving it, and he was really pleased. It wasn't an idea that he was going to build a business. It was for his own rink in Paramount, California, and did the job. He replaced it after three or four years with a newer and better one, but Sonia Henney had a chance to practice her troop there, solid machine. She wanted one, so... And the fourth machine he built was sold to Ice Capades, and it was a show machine that they trooped around between Sonia's and Ice Capades. It got the machine around to the different arenas, and particularly the NHL facilities where they were showing the big shows, and that helped really make it known that something was there. But it pleased him, but he also was never satisfied until he could improve it and make it a little bit better.
Thank you. And this one goes out to John and Tony. John, can you just tell me what made Tony such a special player? And likewise, what made John a special player, Tony?
Well, I had the honor of playing with Tony as a teammate, which was great. You know, he's a terrific teammate. But when you're playing against a guy, you can really see what you see him every night like that. You kind of, it's just part of the, it gets all meshed in, but when you're playing against him, you can see how hard it is to play against him. And Tony had heart and drive like nobody I've ever seen. He was always working as hard as he could every shift he got out there. He never quit on anything, and he was a guy you could never give up against. He had tremendous drive. It's one thing I've always admired about Tony is his drive to play the game. And when you looked at him as a teammate, you could always tell Tony, that's one guy that it wasn't a city, an act or anything. He really loved playing the game. He was always having fun with it. He made practice a lot of fun, and just an all-around great teammate.
Antonio and John?
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, I mean, you think of John McCrary, you think of Power Left Winger, you know, and that was the first thing, you know, having a chance to watch John from a distance, you know, and coming into the NHL around the same time. You know, having an opportunity to see him play, you can see his ball get rolling. You can see the whole thing starting to come together. And he was the premier power forward there, the power left winger for years on end, especially through his Philly days, and scoring 50 goals and making it look easy, you know. And, you know, he just seemed to have it all, the size, the speed, the drive, and a guy that loved to win, you know. And, fortunately I had a chance to play with him in Philly as well as playing with him on the U.S. teams, and it's always fun, never a dull moment around Johnny, that's for sure.
If I can ask Tom Barrasso real quick. Tom, what was it like for you to see Timmy Thomas get the Vezina, win the Vezina this year?
Well, I think anytime you see, you know, someone who has really ground themselves through a career and worked as hard as he has, achieve some success and then be recognized for it. You just have to have great admiration for it. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, whether it was just not having the right opportunity or the right fit, had been looked at and passed over by so many people on so many different occasions, and through grinding his way through a career and never quitting and always just maintaining that work ethic and level of competition he has, to see him get recognized for it's pretty special.
Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Cherise, thanks very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And Cherise, if you could bring our speakers back into a conference after we're done here, and if our inductees could just hold the line for a minute. Appreciate your participation. Any questions you might have, again, please feel free to call us here in the office, 719-538-1171. Have a great day.